parish and the world who call upon your holy name and who believe that you are the creator of the universe, that you have thought of us and placed us into our mother's womb with a destiny, with a plan, with a purpose, to bless our lives and to use us for the blessings of others, that we may encounter and experience the power of your love for us as creator, savior, physician, and healer, a God of life and blessing, a God of sustenance, and a God of life eternal. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us to receive all good gifts and to understand the magnitude of your love for us and to live an abundant life of victory in Jesus on earth. And that Holy Spirit who will guide us unto all truth and show us the way to live that life more abundantly and the way throughout eternity. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be fully sanctioned and carried by the power of your Spirit for my blessing and the blessing of everyone here and our extended families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So the question again, what is the main purpose for our existence?
Salvation.
Very good. Very good. The main purpose of our existence is to be saved. Right? To be saved. Saved from what?
From death.
Very good. Saved from sin and all the suffering that sin brings. Saved by the precious blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
For unto us is born this day a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, is what the Bible says. You know, without this power of salvation, there is no hope for us. There is no hope for us. And Jesus gives us that opportunity that we be saved as we are born again daily from the water and from the Spirit. It's amazing. When you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you're going to see daily wonders. He is going to be speaking to your heart, to your mind, by day, by night, while you're asleep, while you're awake. He will bestow upon you all the mighty, powerful gifts that you cannot buy on this earth. Those are the gifts that last forever. And as I say to you, when the Holy Spirit is in your heart, you have life. And that life never dies. Even when your body decays, that wonderful spirit of life in you remain throughout eternity, and also that spirit of life in you will unite again, but with the glorious eternal body that God will give to those who accepted his love, salvation, and amazing love. Can you live without love on this earth?
No.
And it's unfortunate that we only feel loved when someone is giving us something. Right? We feel loved when someone is giving us their time, their talents, share their resources, telling us how much he appreciates us. But also, we love the most those who come through in time of great trouble. Right? And we cannot live without that. And we cannot live without the love of God. As I shared with you, because I pray before I go to bed, and I encourage you always to pray in the morning, noon, at night, the Spirit of God dwell in you and use you not just for your own blessing. And that is the reason of the gifts. It is for your own blessing and the blessing of your family and others. And as I say, the Friday morning, I couldn't sleep early morning, and the Holy Spirit guided me while I'm lying in bed to pray for my mom and my family. And that is not the first or second time. It happens always. And I prayed for them. And after I have gone to do things in the house, I had my devotion in the morning, and I felt urged to call my mom and my family to see how they're doing. And the tone of my sister on the phone was not good. She was very concerned and troubled. And she said, "I'm very afraid. We almost lost your mom."
Wow.
You know, she said she was eating, and suddenly she went into convulsion.
Wow, mom.
And then she said that she tried to hold her, and my mom tell her, "Don't leave me, don't leave me." Very serious condition. Her blood pressure shot up to 190 over 95, and her heart rate was 115.
Right before that is when I was awakened out of bed to pray for her. Who rose me up to pray?
The Holy Spirit.
That Jesus came to give us all. I didn't know. I am not in Egypt. But that is the Holy Spirit that can connect
right.
the universe together with our own heart.
Uh-huh.
And because we have prayed, the Lord sent doctors and people who come immediately as the heavenly angels and give her what she needed. I couldn't talk to her yesterday because she was resting in bed. But I was awakened this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray and to thank God, even though I did not call yet.
Right.
And when I called, my sister said, "Can't believe that your mom is up again." And she was sitting down and I was able to speak with her.
Wow.
And she said, "This is only prayer that saved me."
Wow.
Because she prays. I pray. When she was unable to pray, God always, by His Spirit, raised someone else to pray.
That's true.
And also my sister was there yesterday, one of my sisters, who have prayed with her and anointed her with oil.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? The gift and power of prayer.
Wow.
Where does it come from? Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We cannot experience the power of God's love for us unless and until we truly invite the Holy Spirit to take over our lives. We are sinners, aren't we?
Yeah.
Regardless of how much knowledge and experience we have, we make good decisions, we make bad decisions. But what is steady and good for us is God's everlasting love, but many people forsake that love. And they try to find answer in their finite self, in others, and in things. And things get worse. We are always encouraged to come to the Lord in prayer, believing that Jesus paid the ransom for and complete. He can save us from every sin, known and unknown to us. And He can save us from the suffering as the Holy Spirit of God, that is the Spirit of life, is able to work on our behalf. That Spirit knows that you and I will be going through some many difficult times on this earth, right? We're going to be going through ups and downs, hills and valleys. We're going to be healthy, we're going to be sick. We're going to have and we're going to have not. Okay? We're going to go through conflict inside. We're going to through argumentations and fights. We're going to have our fears, our frustrations, our hurt feelings. We're going to have moments of anger. Left to ourselves, we will be destroyed. God had to give us gifts. That is, things that are tangible to equip us to fight the good fight of faith. That everything bad can actually work for our good. And it happens to me every week. I am not any different from any one of you. As I shared yesterday in Bible study, that a bill came. I thought I took care of this problem. It kept insisting. And every time they promised me they took care of the problem, here it is, come back again. And it came just after I have talked to my family and I was weighed down with this great concern. And after lots of prayer, I said, "Here it is." And I called, and customer service really upset me even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Enough is enough. I need to speak to someone higher than you."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go through the details, but the problem that Jesus allowed to happen again brought about 3 new blessings. The end of the conversation with the supervisor provided new blessings I prayed for, but really I had no plans to receive them on that day. The Lord allowed the problem to come so I may receive them unexpectedly. Who is working on my behalf? The Holy Spirit. Even though my human nature and my limitations were not helping me to find the answer, He was working behind the scene. That is the power of being born of the Spirit. There are 2 ways to fight. You can fight the battle on your own if you choose to. God has given us that privilege. Or you can truly, truly see the problem, speak the problem in prayer, surrender that problem to the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to provide the substitute. Don't cling too much to what you want. What you want may be the worst thing that can happen to you. Did you hear what I just said? Don't cling too much to what you want. What you want may be the worst thing that can happen to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, good and evil, acknowledge Him, the Bible said. He shall direct thy path. That's how faith works. Faith is not about doctrines. It is not about denominations. It's about a relationship. You can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself, a Christian, a devout believer, whatever you want to call yourself, a Baptist, an Adventist, a Jehovah's Witness, whatever. All of these does not do you any good. You either really, truly have a relationship with God or you don't. And Jesus came to invite us into a relationship with God. This is where the hope of life is. And the blessings of life are. And the gift of life eternal exists in that personal relationship with God. And it's all through the work of the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. Signs of the new spiritual birth. Of course, the first thing we're conscious of that we are frail. We have limitations and we struggle with errors and sins. You know, when we were raised up, we were so scared of that. No one really wants to be caught doing something wrong. Why? Because we fear punishment. And it's unfortunate that that's how we view our relationship with God. As kids, if we hide it from mom and dad, we don't get punished. Right?
That's true.
And so we become master deceivers of ourselves and others. To our own harm. Correct? To our own harm. But true loving parents, always willing to give everything they have to their children. When the children always come to them and say, Mom, I did it again. Dad, I'm struggling. I don't think true loving parents really love to punish their kids. You know why? Because every time the kid is punished, they feel it themselves. But when children come to their parents always with their concerns, with their struggles, with their errors, with their weakness, parents are very protective and they would do everything to protect their children. But we learned to have the wrong relationship with God. That's why many Christians have left the church and many people do not want to do anything with Christianity. Because parents and churches told them that if you don't obey God, you're going to go to hell. Well, they struggle every day. They can never make it right. They make it right sometimes and they fall from glory. And they fall from grace sometimes. They cannot be perfect and they cannot be fully righteous. So they said, why should I try? I'm going to go to hell anyway. So they give up. That is not the nature of our God, and it should not be the relationship we have with God. As a matter of fact, God knows about our every struggle, about our every sin, every need, and why we are falling from grace every day. That is the reason why Jesus had to come to bear our own falling, ailing, failing human nature upon Him. To fight every battle for us. To prevail on our behalf. To become sin for us. And to suffer the consequences for us. And as the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. That He made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we through Him might become the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we have that choice today to feel our errors and to turn all of our struggles, all of our wants and needs and follies back to our sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is willing to bear it, to forgive us every day, again and again and again. Because the question was asked of Jesus, how many times should I forgive Joshua?
7 times 7.
And the disciples said, should we forgive 7 times? And Jesus said, no, but 70 times. That's almost 490, correct?
Mm-hmm.
No, Jesus did not really say that. The 770 time is very much an example of completion. 7 is the number of completion.
A lot of forgiveness.
That you are forgiven again, again, and again until your salvation is made sure. Did you hear that? Now, parents, how many times did you forgive your kids?
Always.
Did you count them?
No.
Thousands of times?
I know.
And even until now, they are perhaps adults, single or married with kids. Regardless of what they do, you are still willing to forgive them and do not want them to suffer.
That's true.
So if Jesus asked us human beings to forgive one another forever, what do you think he will do for us?
Oh, wow.
Once our sins are forgiven, our life become healed and changed. As I spoke in Bible study yesterday, when Eric asked the question, I see my problem. I pray about my problem. I do tell Jesus to take over my problem, but I don't know how to substitute it. Well, that's not our work. That is the work of who?
God.
The Holy Spirit. The path of the just, the Bible said, shineth more and more unto the perfect day of his appearing. And we grow daily from glory to glory. By beholding him, we become changed instantly. Do you know that we are changing despite of us? That miracle, hear me. We are changing every day. Even if we did not try to do anything. We are changing to the better or to the worse. Every day. We change to the better. If our heart and mind and soul have been surrendered daily to Jesus, we are changing. And people around you who once knew you will see your change. It is impossible for you to enter a dark room and turn the light on and it stays dark. Once you turn the light on, darkness is gone. But you can enter the room and leave the light off. You walk in darkness. And if you walk in darkness, you stumble over everything and you get hurt. So when we invite the Spirit of God to enter us, he gives us all of the things that we don't have. Did you hear that? He gives us all of the things that we don't have. And he fights our every battle for us, and we remain the children of God. From now unto everlasting. In John 1:12, the Bible said, to them that believed on him, Jesus, gave he the power to become the children of God. What a blessing that is. Mm-hmm. That you and I have the complete power to become the children of God, even though we are not any different from anybody else. We are like everybody else. We struggle, we have needs every day. We have flaws of character. But the only difference is,
you are the elect.
Very good. Those who make that choice to allow the love of God to enter the heart, they change from glory to glory. After the image and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord said, that is not of your works. That is because of the grace of God working in you, salvation. Look at all of the lives in the Bible that were changed. Look at David, look at Paul.
Wow.
Murderers. Become great servants of God.
Wow.
They changed. But if we do not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and we try to fight the battle of life on this earth on our own, we change. From best to good to bad to worst.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come to Jesus, we change from worst, and then it gets a little better. We're still bad. And then things get better, we become good, and at the day of his appearing, we will be in our best condition as saints. But until then, we have to continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us as new creatures of God. Next slide, please. And God promised that He will give us everything that we don't have. You can name it. You can name it. Whatever you think you need and you don't have, the Bible said, and God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory, not according to your want and desire. Okay? I look at where I was as a child. I look at where I am today. The promises of God is true. It's very true. All good gifts and every perfect gift come from the Father above, the Father of lights, who have no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. It is the Holy Spirit that once take hold of us, began to bestow upon us and equip us with divine gifts for our blessing and the blessings of others. And we began to expound on those gifts. Okay? Spiritual gifts. We have started in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What gifts and how they work. And we have learned something very critical of that. Can you name some of those gifts that we have learned about?
Teaching.
The gift of teaching. Very good.
Prophesying.
The gift of prophecy.
Preaching.
The gift of preaching.
Speak of tongues.
The gift of tongues.
Interpretation.
The gift of healing. The interpretation of tongues. The gift of knowledge. Don't we need knowledge to make decisions?
Yeah.
When we were destroyed, we were making decisions based on the knowledge we got from the world. Right? From the TV and the newspaper. From the news. From the internet. But even in this area, we can get the knowledge of life. Okay? So, there are lots of gifts, and I exercised those gifts. It worked for me this past week. Okay? Now, we also see how they work and how they don't work. What happens now from the story I have read unto you from the Bible in Acts 18 last week? What happened when I tried to assume a gift that God did not give to me? Make a
fool out of yourself.
You can make a fool out of yourself. You're not going to be good. Okay, as I say this, I love to play piano or a guitar because I love to sing. I thought that would be great, just to play piano and sing at the same time. You know, I went to school for a semester. Couldn't. Just couldn't. Too old to learn those little techniques that best to learn when you're a kid. Okay? But if I decided that I want the attention that those pianists are gifted with, and I just came in front of you and I began to play the piano,
no.
I would make a fool of myself. Worse yet, if I try to convince others that I can sing and I can play the piano.
Oh, no.
You know, when I start to play and sing, many people will be praying for me, Lord, have mercy upon me, right?
You have the gift of singing, I know.
Okay.
That's your gift.
And I'm grateful for that. And in the Bible, we've seen when the apostles had the gift of prayer and the gift of healing and the gift of casting out demons. They were not doing it for their glory and their attention, and we're going to learn more about that. Be very careful. Don't use the spiritual gifts the wrong way. The devil will be your partner. It's not going to work for you, the fruits of the Spirit. It's going to work in you different kind of fruits. Okay? So here it is. When the apostles were praying and casting out demons, there were some groups in the church, in the synagogue, who really wanted the power of that gift, and they went to presume it. Right? And there were some people who were demon-possessed, and they decided, since they were the sons of a priest, they should have that power that is given to Paul and Peter and Silas. And they went to try to cast out those demons.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said this to the people possessed. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul and Peter preach, we ask you to come out of him. And we heard what happened in that story. The demon himself spoke. And he said, Jesus we know, Paul and Peter we know, but who are thou? And those demons came upon them to possess them. And they became so scared that they had to leave the place naked and completely frightened. That is what happened when we try to assume a gift not given to us. Okay? So we address the issue of what gift and how they work. The gifts are given to all of us. First, for our own salvation. Remember why Jesus came. Mm-hmm. It is not for any other. It's not for you to make money with. Okay? Mm. It's not for you to make money with. Money is one of the billion blessings that God gives you just to help you exist on earth. These precious gifts are not for sale. You cannot buy them anywhere. Therefore, you cannot sell them to anybody. It is for your own salvation, for the blessings of your life, for the salvation and blessing of others. I'm going to tell you. If you want to prosper with all the gifts God gives you, and if you want those gifts to multiply, you must invest them in your salvation and in God's work and in the salvation of others, and you will live without worrying about anything. It is very unfortunate that many evangelists and pastors and churches made it about numbers. I'm not saying all the churches and all the denominations do that. That's not true. I said some pastors and some evangelists and some churches made it more about numbers. The more we bring in, the more money we've got. And Jesus said you cannot worship two gods. That is the struggle for all humanity. We cannot worship the God who created all of us and then the God of money in the same time. No. You know, we live today, we're gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Can money extend our lives?
No.
No.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Even Peter knows about that. It doesn't. When your time comes, your time comes. And as the Bible said, you leave everything behind. But next is the judgment. Mm. I have given you so many gifts. Mm. What have you done with them? Mm. And this is the parable, Sandra, that you were talking about last week. It's and nice. We're going to come to that in a second. So we are given gifts. The more we invest them in our salvation, the salvation of our families, the church, and others, the more they multiply. Today we're going to address a very serious issue. And that is, for what purpose? Why does God desire to bestow upon us gifts? For what purpose? I think I addressed it already, but let us read it in the Bible. Let's open Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And let us read from verse 1. Anytime you wonder why God has blessed you with eyes and ears and with your physical health and strength and well-being, why you are still alive, why God has given you spiritual gifts, mental gift, physical gift, social gift, emotional gift, financial gift. Why did God give us all of these gifts? Because He loves us. And because He wants us to have it. For a purpose. What is that purpose? Let us read it together. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that's Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now you are called the children of God, ambassadors of God on earth, children of the kingdom. That should be your main goal. And if you think of that when you go to work will be a happy place even when everyone else is stressed. When you make work about you, work is going to be a miserable place. You're going to get sick. It's a fact. And the same is school. When you make school about you, you're going to get very distressed. And you're going to enter into lots of conflicts. And when you make church about you, the same problem exists. That's why many church members having conflict with each other. Because they make it about them. I have served in different churches and I've seen conflict among congregations all the time. Everyone wants the limelight. And everyone talks about everybody. Because they don't know the purpose God placed them where they are. So the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Wow. You know, in every family, there are different people, different personalities, different social life, different spiritual life, different struggles and different needs. Therefore, there's going to be a conflict, right?
Yeah.
The Lord said, remember, I placed you there that you may walk worthy of the vocation I called you, with humility and meekness, with long suffering. And then he said, forbearing one another in love. You know, when people develop their spiritual gifts, missions of compassion everywhere, it does not look or sound good at the beginning, right? And we become frustrated with other people's attempt to grow their gifts. Now, who is working on us? It is the Holy Spirit and it's the other Spirit, and we can choose which Spirit to listen to. I, as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am required to be very long-suffering while I'm assisting and encouraging God's people to develop their spiritual gifts. They are not doing it for me. If it is about me, I'm going to be very frustrated. And I will get out of that business. It's not about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory, who have blessed me and now urging me to pass the blessing of others. So if I ask Peter or Andrew to develop their gift of singing, and I put them up in front of you to sing, they are not going to be singing like their uncle.
Wow.
You know? But they should be singing from their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to us.
That's true.
Not to us. That's why we said we got to forbear one another in love. In what love? In the love of Jesus. Because all of these gifts, the Bible said, have different operation and different administration. Mm-hmm. And they have to go through phases to grow. To grow. Peter and Andrew may be singing here today. And maybe the seeds of God's righteousness and the work of the Holy Spirit in them. Tomorrow, they may be singing in front of big congregations.
Oh my goodness.
That's not my work. It's not your work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to recognize all of us have diverse gifts. Not one of us have exactly the same gift everyone else has. And therefore, we have to be long-suffering and in love forbearing one another. Why? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Very critical that you recognize that it is the Holy Spirit that is working in all of us. And we are to be very mindful and very careful that there is the unity of the Spirit. And there is peace, not chaos and conflict. So all of our gifts should be pulled together. Some may be ahead of others. It doesn't mean they are better. That is where they are in their walk with Jesus. It means that they can bless us even the more. And some have just begun the journey. I think it is a great miracle for me to have seen the transformation of all of your lives. I have been very blessed to meet you when I first met you. And I have a good recollection of how we all were then. I have a recollection of what you have said about yourselves. And about your perception of God and life. And today, I am so blessed to be one of God's children who sit down and receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit through His work in all of you. You are lives that have been changed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pass those blessings to everyone around us that they may also experience the transformational change that the Holy Spirit may bring. So he continued to tell us that with all of this gift, we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, it kind of saddens my heart. I run into some Christians sometimes from different denominations, and some of them refuse to pray because they believe, because I'm not a member of their congregation, God is not going to hear our prayer. And I got to say that I was in the hospital last Monday, visiting different people in very serious condition. And I walked into that critical care unit, and here is a mother lying down, and her daughter is there rubbing her feet. I thought that was a very beautiful sight. I acknowledged that, and I applauded the daughter for taking the time to really rub her mother's feet. And she indicated that she would like to see her mother recover quickly. And I said, that is wonderful. You know, and I began to share with them, God created the human body. When we trust the designer over the design, no one can know it better, can fix it better, and keep it healthier better than the one who made it. And they both agreed. And I asked the mother who was lying down in bed, may I offer a word of prayer for your blessing and healing? She said, yes. Her daughter said, no, we are Jehovah's Witness. Isn't that sad?
It's very sad.
What does it mean? That if I pray, it's not going to be a blessing.
Not going to be.
And I said, you know, I believe in the God Jehovah. He is who he is. And may the God Jehovah come upon you with his spirit to bring about that healing from the inside out. I would not leave without blessing. And she said, thank you very much. The mother did. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad?
Very sad?
That's what happened when a different spirit. But they go to churches. And they do claim that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did that mindset come from? Whom are we praying to? You know, almost all the Hindus that I have visited in hospitals, not one of them rejected prayers. All of them said, thank you, and yes, please pray for us. And it was, I believe, a Hindu doctor in Kaiser, whom God used to bless Dane and to bless me. And you know, if you listen to him speak, he is speaking exactly what the Word of God in the Bible said we ought to speak.
Wow.
I don't look at people from what culture they came, what religion they came. All of us have been created from one blood by the same God and Creator. And whatever gifts we have, we must be willing to share with all of God's children at all times. That is our purpose on earth. I was very impressed with the doctor when I went to see him on Thursday, I believe, or Wednesday. He cared for me, did not charge me anything.
Wow.
Everywhere we walked, the janitor knew him and talked with him and so happy to see him. The clerk knew the doctor and greeted him and asked God to bless him. The nurses, the security, other physicians, well-known and well-loved by everybody. And he never declared to me whether he's a Hindu or a Christian. But I asked him, doctor, I am so touched and blessed to see all of these people love you. You know what he said? It is good to hear that from someone who is not worshiping with us here. He said, Abraham, I try to tell all of my staff and everybody that whenever a patient comes, think of that patient as baby Jesus. That kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah.
You treat that individual as if you are treating God.
Wow.
And for the second year, he's been selected as the physician of the year. Does he really care about that at all?
Yeah.
Not. He does not care about the title at all, but he cares about what's in his heart and how he is using his gifts, whether it's the medical, scientific gift, or whether it is the love of God, to really be used by the same Holy Spirit to bless my life as a pastor of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bless great many others. God has a people everywhere. So this is the key. And the next verse tells us that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in the one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Boy, if we recognize that it is God who created all and is above all, and if our faith in that God, how will we treat one another and everybody else? Doesn't matter really whether people tell me that they are Muslims or Christians or Hindus or atheists. My love for them does not change. And I do not love those who call themselves Christians more than I love those who are not. That's not true either. You know, if my neighbor who does not go to church, who does not believe in God, is hurting and needed my help, should I love him less than I love you? Jesus said, absolutely not. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these in need, you've done it unto me. That doctrine, Kaiser, is right. We need to treat every individual as if we are in treating our God himself. There is one God. You can call yourself belonging to any denominations. As I say, it's not going to do you any good. When Jesus comes, he is not going to ask you the question, were you a Catholic? Were you a Baptist? Were you a Mormon?
You love me.
Did you accept my love? Mm-hmm. And did you live my love on earth? Mm-hmm. That is how our destiny will be determined. Our eternity will be determined if we truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul and strength, and if we loved our neighbors as ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Verse 7, for unto every one of us is given grace. It's given what, Sandra? Grace. A gift. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. God give us all gifts different and yet similar to one another by the same Spirit. In the same body of believer. Under the same God. Because he loves us all. So he give us all graces. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Jesus went to heaven, he gave us all the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, who will guide you unto all truth and show you the way. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is that? But he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth, that is Jesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended afar above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That requires faith. That Jesus came to this earth and was buried in the grave and paid the ransom for our sins with the purpose to save us every day. And then he ascended to heaven and promised that he will never leave us comfortless, that he will give us his Holy Spirit to show us the rest of the way to heaven. And he gives some, what? Apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Here it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do we have all of these gifts? Again, that our own tarnished traits of character be fixed. For us to feel the change. For the character of Jesus to be perfected in us. Not by our own might. Not by our own power. But by the might and power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That is how we become slowly changed unto the character of the Lord Jesus.